welcome to Young, Black, and Opinionated. I'm your host, Christina Royster, a.k.a. Miss Christy, and I'm pleased to present one of the final episodes of YBO. You heard that right, the final episodes. That's right, y'all. After 6 years, the YBO podcast era is coming to an end. I took some time off since September 2023. Thank y'all for your patience. And I just took that time to reflect, and I've decided to sunset the podcast to really focus on the YBO media brand as a whole. Some of you may know I'm an artist first and foremost, and I'm really looking forward to making an impact in my community through my artwork now. So it's a different medium, but the same mission: to empower, educate, and celebrate the Black community. And that's exactly what my guests on these final episodes strive to achieve with their work as well. So first up on this episode, I speak with Megan Green, who is a hairstylist and founder of Crown Workshop, whose mission is to build sustainable confidence through an engaging creative space of personal development, open dialogue, African hair history, and hands-on natural hair care and styling education to empower people of color globally. So without further ado, let's get into the episode. Welcome, Megan Green, to the show. It's a pleasure to have you on the YBO podcast.
Yes, thank you for having me.
And I just wanted to speak with you because when we first met, for those folks who are listening who don't know, Megan and I met in January 2023 at an event for Creatives in Corporate. And I love the theme of that event because it really showed me how we can all, you know, have these different career paths and walks of life, but we bring our creative side, our talents with us. And I distinctly remember you sharing a story about how you came from the aerospace industry and how you're now, you know, a founder and you have your own business. So maybe you could just start with telling the folks like where you were and where you are now.
Okay, so 2023 in January, when Brittany reached out to me about the Creatives on Campus event, I needed that. I had just moved back to Philadelphia or the U.S. from Ghana. Mm-hmm. And I only planned to come for 1 month. So all of my things are in Ghana.
Oh, wow.
But when I got on the flight, I realized, like, no, like, I need to be home. And for me, it was, like, an interesting time because I was battling with two parts of me. Like, there's one part of me that's always been, like, okay, like, you got to be intense. Like your mantra for 10 years, my mantra was, you know, I'm going to be comfortable. I'm going to get comfortable with discomfort. It's written on Facebook, Instagram, all the taglines, right? And I've realized that I think that there's a certain level of peace that comes with like comfort and having a home base and being able to like reconnect. So reconnecting to Philadelphia during that time, reconnecting to my family after like living in Africa for a few years, and also living across the country for most of the years leading up to that. I feel like I was in a space of like deep reflection. I was kind of torn, like, are you going to move to LA? I'm like, no, you got to move back to LA. It's not over. So right now I'm based in Los Angeles and I've been here since February. So right after that, I was like, you know what? All right, let's go again.
Wow. And I love how you shared, you know, knowing when to stop and start things. That's still something that I'm working on myself, you know, just learning in my different seasons and as I age, you know, what has served me and what can I keep continuing. And I think that is a little bit discernment. That's a little bit, you know, trust with God's process as well. Just knowing when the timing might not be my timing. It might be his timing. It's normally always his timing. It should be his timing. And so hearing your story about not only moving back from Africa, but then from Philly to LA, you know, leaving your comfort zone, that all really took probably a big risk for you. But I think that you could probably say it has been rewarding so far with everything that you've accomplished and everything that you're still working on now. So can you tell the folks a little bit about your baby, Crown Workshop?
Yes, definitely. So I just want to give like a quick story. When I was younger, I always felt like, oh, people are going to be worried about worried about having babies. I'm going to be worried about promotions. Like, very early on, until I started working in the aerospace industry fresh out of college. So I went to Villanova, studied cross-cultural psychology and communication. So that was really like an eye-opening experience because leaving Villanova, studying abroad. I lived in Denmark for a while. So I got to like set the tone for all the experiences that shifted my perspective. I'm in Denmark. I'm living in Copenhagen. I'm studying cross-cultural psychology. I go to a Leanne LaHavis concert. And if you don't know this artist, she's like a UK singer. And I like adored her. Like I adored her music. I enjoyed that her hair was natural and beautiful.
Yes.
And at the time, I'm spending time pressing it out, straightening, still getting perm, you know, shocking my host family with the leave upstairs, trying to explain to them how a fill-in works, trying to practice the little Danish I knew. And I feel that because I've been getting paid to do hair since I was 13, hair has always been like a theme in my life. I think that the dopamine I experienced as a kid when you do someone's hair and they feel more beautiful and more comfortable with themselves, it was something that, yeah, I kind of got addicted to. It was just like, wow, like I do someone's like sew-in and a bob and then afterwards they're putting on like lip gloss.
Yes.
And, yeah. I was like, yes, girl, I did that. And that sort of like connection with women has always been something I felt grateful that I like got to do. So fast forward, I'm working in the aerospace industry and I'm realizing everything they told me I was supposed to want in my life is not, this is not feeling good.
I know that feeling. Like when you get your dream job and you're like, oh, this is it.
No, I got the dream job. I get relocated from Philadelphia to Portland. They ship my car. I'm in a hotel for months. So I'm really getting princess treatment. That's corporate. So we're loving it. Loving the soft life living in Portland.
Yes.
But I realized like this, like I have the car, I have the place, but I'm so lonely. I'm feeling sad. Mind you, it rains in Portland. Maybe it's it would have been a different energy. But it's raining for 9 months out of the year. Yeah. It's like 45 days, I've only seen the sun a few times. I got a sun lamp in my office. And on the side, I'm still getting paid to do hair. It's always been like a theme in my life. And
so still side hustle at that point. That's interesting because it I feel like aerospace engineering and hair have nothing in common, but it's interesting how you never left that and that talent always stayed with you.
Yeah, it's always been like something that I love that I got to do. I think that when your hobby becomes a business, your relationship with it shifts.
Yeah.
So I'll definitely talk about that. And also like when you've been taught that you're supposed to work for people and you're supposed to climb the corporate ladder and you have this opportunity to do it, but you're looking around you and it's like, I don't want to be any of you. And not, you know, and not to say that what they chose is bad, you know what I'm saying? It's just not how I wanted to, like.
You wanted more. Yeah.
Yeah, like, I wanted more. I wanted adventure. I moved from Denmark, living in Europe, to living in Portland, Oregon, working in the aerospace industry, very white male dominated organization.
Yeah.
I'm the only Black woman in leadership. I'm probably the only Black woman I've actually seen in the company.
Yeah.
So there's a level of like feeling like isolated, but also longing for a life of adventure that I always like thought about, but I don't think I always felt confident enough to do it. At the same time, I got hella time. My family's not there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, like all day at work, I'm looking up all the natural like remedies. First, we start with like the oil pulling. I'm like, I'm going to whiten my teeth. I think I've been obsessed with that for a long time. Yeah.
So and I get you, Megan, like that moment where you start doing your other passion projects on the clock. And I'm like, oop, I'm not doing the work I should be paid for right now. But I'm just more drawn to this. I'm more passionate about this. You know, you start Googling while you're online.
Yes, exactly. And it was one of those situations where like I was interviewing like 7 people a day. So I was a talent acquisition specialist. So I used to recruit for all the very intense, highly technical engineering roles, but also every role throughout the company. And then I had 11 locations. So I took time off, like when I needed a mental break, I was Googling like natural remedies. So at the same time, I start taking care of my hair. I think seeing Leanne LaHavis in concert kind of planted a seed. You ever, I think a lot of women can relate to this. I think that when you're not free and really comfortable with yourself, when you see a woman that's really free and comfortable with themselves and taking up space, there's a level of discomfort that happens inside of you, because it's like, I don't know how to get there, but I would like to be there. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like that really planted the seed of, like, even after I met her, like, I'm going to actually share a photo. I'm going to send it to you.
Oh, awesome.
But like, I have this photo where like I went from having straight hair to doing this like curly sort of look. I think it was like a twist out. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I'm in Oregon. I'm learning to take care of my natural hair. And guys, my hair has always, like, this is through 2 years of growth. Like, I cut my hair before. So it's been massive before. But I always tell people that oftentimes my hair was bigger than me. I feel like because every time you go somewhere, it's huge. People want to talk about it. Yeah. It's garnering more attention than I feel that I want.
That's so true.
So every time I go outside, we got to talk about my hair. So like, at the same time, I'm embracing my natural hair, but I'm also like dealing with or adjusting to people's reaction to the bold hair.
And I'm glad, like, that you brought that up, especially, you know, like you said, working in STEM or working in corporate. I've often had times where I had to think like, oh, I want to get braids for vacation, but I got to go into the office. How's that going to look? And I finally did get to a point where I don't really care anymore, because now we do have things in place like the Crown Act. Like, I wish somebody would try to say something to me. I'm going to HR. But I just feel like that's another layer. Like you said, you're trying to find your own identity and you're trying to get back to your own natural roots. But then you have this other layer that you have to navigate that people don't even consider.
Yeah, exactly. And also, I just feel that, you know, as a people, we don't have that many cognitive resources. You know what I'm saying? So like, how you spend your energy, you have to manage it. So if I'm at work and I'm trying to focus on complex problem solving or figuring out how did I add value to this great organization? This was a question I had to answer every day at 7 a.m. in a meeting. So I'm trying to figure out, how am I going to add value to this great organization? I can't also figure out, how am I going to deal with the reactions to how I'm dressing, to how I'm showing up, to my hair? And it started to cause a little bit of anxiety going into it, you know, because it's like, mind you, and when you're first starting out your natural hair journey, you know, you do this little twist out, little band.
Yes.
It's cute, but it's not.
I looked back at a picture. I just looked back at a picture from 2016 and my curls were stringy. I really thought I was cute back then.
Yeah, but like, also you're learning as you're going. So you think it's going to be great, but it didn't dry. You got a meeting and you are not, I hadn't been to Africa yet. I didn't know how to show up with Bantu knots. Now I'll be like, what's up? Let me talk to you about the hairstyle Bantu knots. Before, I was like, oh my God. So long story short, I'm going through my own natural hair journey in the workplace, and I'm also learning to take care of my hair, and it starts like flourishing. It starts getting bigger, and that was an adjustment, and I'm also getting paid to do hair with clients. So fast forward, we're in Portland, and I realize, it rains here too much. It's too dark. I'm visiting LA for work, and I ended up getting a job offer in LA, but I've also applied for grad schools in LA. So at the time, I'm like, okay, I love LA. Not sure how it's going to go. I'm just going to move there. If I get into grad school, beautiful. If I don't, I'm just going to move to the East Coast a year later. I come to LA. I start taking a lot of clients. I have this product I've been making. People start giving me money through Snapchat before I even had containers.
And I'm like,
but I think, like, even though there's been times where I've had a really great product, I feel like mentally I wasn't always in the greatest space to do all that was necessary. As mind you, I'm disrupting my life. I'm relocating. And to manage a business while you're constantly like relocating and still like adjusting to new environments, grad school, I feel that I've always been in a constant stage of transition. Mm-hmm. And that influenced my relationship with my like entrepreneurial journey.
But definitely,
I'm in LA. I have women coming to me at this time. It's not a lot of great natural hairstylists in LA. Mind you, there's a lot of great hairstylists, but a lot of people are more focused on aesthetics than the integrity of your hair strand, the strength of it, the curl pattern. They're not trying to think about you having thick hair. They're trying to achieve this style by any means necessary. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people are coming to me. Then I realized so many women don't like their hair. And they like take out the weave and they like shrink. Like it's mm-hmm. just women like cringe at themselves was like kind of heartbreaking for me because I'm like, wow, if women who are like 30 and 40, sometimes upwards of 50 years old have this relationship with their hair, how does it influence how they show up in the world? How are little girls being influenced by right. what's being presented as beautiful or what's like trendy? People do anything for certain styles, regardless of if you have edges after.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's so important that you also highlight. That's the education part. You know, when I talk about educate, empower, celebrate, you're also making sure that people know the difference between their hair types, their porosity, you know, what products work for you might not work for me. I remember when I was getting into natural hair, watching YouTube videos, trying to, you know, use the same products as these people, I learned some products are drying my hair out. You know, not everything works for, not every product is a one size fits all. So I'm so glad that you are incorporating that education aspect of it, because yeah, I could do anything I see on TikTok to get a cool style, but my hair might not be safe afterwards.
Exactly. And I feel more importantly, I remember being in Portland, and I'm living in Portland, so it's like I feel that all the natural hair girls were there, all the girls that are like very new to influencer marketing. Mm-hmm. Incredible hair. I remember asking one girl like, hey, like, where did you get your hair done? And she was like, oh, like, she only does curly hair. And I was like, in my head, I was like, oh, okay. But in my mind, I was like, so you felt like at this time, I didn't think a natural, like a wash and go was even possible. But I remember having that conversation and feeling like I wasn't in the natural hair club. Mm-hmm. And I also didn't know how to quite get there because I hadn't consistently gone without heat. I hadn't consistently done the deep conditioners coupled with no heat, you know? So yeah. I always felt like when I first started my natural hair journey, I would have loved to have someone that was like helpful. And I love that through my business, whether I'm doing hair, making products, or hosting Crown Workshop experiences, I feel that I want to like hold your hand through the natural hair journey because it's really psychological. Like it's yes. a mental thing you're going through. It's like shifting your perspective of yourself. You know how long it took me to feel the most beautiful with my natural hair?
Same, sis. I know the feeling, especially if you're talking about, what is this, 2015, 2016, that time period back then. I feel like I didn't really get into natural hair until 2014. And even then, like you said, there weren't a whole lot of resources. And I also feel like people can gatekeep sometimes. And I hate that in our community. So I'm so glad that you're not only thinking about how you can help your peers, but also the next generation.
Yeah. And I also feel like, number one, I always told my clients, like in my mind, as soon as I moved to LA, I was like, yeah, you have to live abroad again. I almost applied for an international like MBA program or grad school experience because I love coping. But I was like, no, like you should move to LA because at least you're in the US, your family can visit you. Cool. Mm-hmm. So when I moved to LA, like I told my clients, I said, girl, I'm not going to be doing your hair for 20 years. I don't want you to feel that that's going to happen. You got 3 years to figure out how to take care of your hair.
Yeah.
And people were like shocked, like, and I'm like, number one, I'm very grateful that I learned to do hair from my cousin as a kid. And I even worked at a hair salon in high school. So I went awesome. I went to Dougherty for high school and I started working at this hair salon called Matrix on like 5th and Alanis. Around there. Yeah. After school, I'd go there and I was like obsessed, right? But I feel that getting your hair done is expensive.
Yep.
Also, that too. Using the right products for your hair is expensive. So I just felt like it wasn't sustainable. And even when I had a product, it was very like saying, I'm selling a product that I wouldn't have had access to as a kid. How does that make sense? And I have a cousin that will challenge me in like every way possible. Like,
you need that one.
Yeah, in every single thing. She was like, my clients can afford these products. What about the little girls here? What about the, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to figure it out. So I went from selling an avocado-based hair product and like a beard oil bundle to creating an experience that's around like hair and wellness and mental health, because I felt like that's what I needed as a kid.
Yeah.
So when I launched the Crown Workshop, it was in 2019, and I started doing these hair experiences. And in the workshop, number one, we learned the history of African grooming practices and the impact of colonialism and how it's influenced how we feel about our hair, our skin, our texture, everything.
Yes. That's the empower part of it. I love how you're going back to our roots and getting back to our history, because it's not just hair for us. It's more than hair.
Exactly.
It's a whole history.
And you got to take it back to understand. The most important part of the workshop is to help people to understand why they feel the way they do about themselves and how it's by design, it's by programming, it's by ads, and to start to question it. Because I think that a lot of people just in life, they go through being like, oh, this is just how things are. And yeah. Once you can think critically and you can question, you can then create a path that's unique to you. So that's the first part of the workshop. The other part is like how to make products using what's in your kitchen. And this was like controversial. People are like, oh, like you're going to teach people. It's like, I can't reach everybody. I don't even have a team to reach everybody. I don't even know how to scale my business yet to do that. But in the meantime, I know that people are feeling uncomfortable. People don't have the resources. And I know that your hair influences how you feel about yourself every day. So I want people to be self-sustainable.
Yes.
I don't want you to have to depend on someone else to make you feel beautiful. Because if you don't have money, it becomes like a domino effect. Like how you feel about yourself influences how you show up, influences the decisions you make, and that influences the trajectory of your life. So go to a salon. Like I'm not saying like a salon is a beautiful experience. To have someone that's professional. Yeah. To have someone that's professional, dedicated to the craft, that went to school and learned it for so long and they put love into your hair, it's beautiful. But what can you do in between that? Like you should be self-sustainable. You should never, I have so many clients where they have an event and if they can't get their hair done, they're not going to that event. No, I don't want to see a world like that. I want to see a world where we can do the basics. So what I love about the Crown Workshop is like, not only do I teach you how to take care of your hair, how to love your hair, how to style your hair, but you also learn how to do like basic, you know, conditioning treatments that will actually do what it needs to do in the meantime. And the biggest part that has really shifted over the years is the focus on mental health, because I definitely think that there's a lot of unlearning you need to do. And I think that if, say, for example, you know, I grew up in Philly. If you grew up in Philly, you knew back in the day, they'll be like, oh, you cute for a dark skinned girl.
Yeah.
But you already got this in your mind. You like, I'm the bottom of the totem, but I don't feel that I'm the bottom of the totem. But based on how the guys are talking, she's light skinned. Facial features aren't giving. She's light skinned. So something is happening, you know? And I just feel that all these little messages around like, oh, your hair is nappy. Oh, your texture is like too kinky or whatever.
I used to have folks who would, you know, take one look at my head and be like, oh, I can't do your hair. It's too thick. Like all types of stuff.
To me when I was a kid. Yep. And, you know, for Easter, I'm going to the store to get my hair done. I got my outfit the next day. You know, like, cute. So, yeah. I definitely understand that. But what I love about the Crown Workshop is like, it's giving you an opportunity to like reevaluate your relationship with your hair and subsequently yourself. I think when we do that inner work and then we also do the work, because you can't do nothing to your hair and expect for it to grow.
Yes, say that part, because I am definitely someone who skipped out on the deep conditioning. I need to get back to my deep conditioning routine.
Yeah, definitely. But so that's my baby, the Crown Workshop. I started it in 2019 in Brooklyn. So I started it in the middle school in Brooklyn. Then I started doing it in middle schools in LA. Then I, you know, I feel that when God puts things on my heart, I'm pretty like courageous in that way where if I don't even know how, I don't even know how it's going to happen. Mind you, I didn't even know how I was going to pay my rent in LA. And I'm telling people I'm about to do workshops in South Africa. But yeah, so then I started doing it in townships throughout South Africa. And then I moved to Ghana and I started doing it there. During my grad program, I went to USC. So I studied communication management. And doing the internship in South Africa for 2 months was really eye-opening as well, because it was like, wow, a lot of the women here also don't feel comfortable and confident in their natural hair. And I remember being in Johannesburg, and at the time I had like a huge fro, and the little girls were like, please don't leave us, like help us with our hair. And I was like, okay, you know, and at the time, I've done like, I love facilitation and workshops. I've done a lot of diversity and inclusion leadership training all throughout Villanova. So I had the skills to do it. It was more of like having the confidence to say, okay, this is what I'm going to do. So when I, when I launched the Crown Workshop, it was really beautiful because it was an idea I thought about in high school. And it was an idea that I kept working on when I was in Portland. I had a very many creative friends in Oregon. And I had this one friend named Johnny. He's like a music producer. I'd go to his studio and we'd like have on the rainy days, we'd have the most creative time. Like I'm writing down like what my nonprofit in the future is going to be. So when it was time for me to take the leap, people think that I just thought of it. No, I had been thinking about this for a very long time. I was already doing workshops in LA with like foster youth around a lot of these things. I like to test before I launch it as my own.
I like that you're bringing this up because it always looks like people just did it overnight on social media, right? And especially when people don't know your story, don't know everything that you just told me, you know, sometimes God gives you a vision and you do have to sit with it a little bit and, you know, work on it. Other times you might just jump. Like one time I just quit my job with nothing lined up. Sometimes you might do that, or sometimes you might stay with it a little bit more. And we don't know how it's going to work out, but I've just come to learn more about his sovereignty and how he does have a plan and you're going to get there regardless. And so you may have had to move to LA and move to Philly and move to Africa to get all these things in place, but it's like it all laddered up. So what was that aha moment for you? Like when you finally went to South Africa and you're like, oh, now is the perfect time to launch this.
I definitely think being in South Africa, like the first time, because I realized like when you see a problem and you actually have the tools and knowledge to actually create a solution, it's really difficult to not do so. Yeah. And I also think that once you know something and you know that you can help people, you have a responsibility to do it. And for me, like, I love doing hair. And I, more importantly, I love teaching people how to care for their hair and reexamine their relationship with their hair, because it's things that I went through personally. And God's really funny. Like, he doesn't just say, oh, you're going to help these people, or you're going to help teach people about this. He's like, no, I'm going to put you through so many trials and tribulations and issues, so that way you have firsthand experience how to help people, you know? So yeah, I definitely think moving to South Africa, but to be quite honest, it was really coming back from South Africa, going through like one of the most difficult moments, like maybe in my adult life around like just mental health and depression. And I was just so sad. And I felt like I wanted to create something beautiful for the world, even though I was like not feeling that way.
You know? I love that, because I definitely am one of those people where I'm like, I need to practice what I preach. You know, if sometimes you have to encourage yourself. And that's even how I came up with the whole Speak Life, Faith Apparel, because I had just been telling to myself, like, I need to start speaking a little more positively. And I love what you said about kind of leveraging your own testimony, because I guarantee I'm not the only one going through it. So why not share it with other people? So thank you so much for sharing that, because it is, mental health is still a real thing and people still need to talk about it more and more. I think that we're just now kind of breaking out of that stigma. So for you to have that mindset, like, let me encourage myself by encouraging others. I love how, you know, you've just been a steward of your gifts.
Yeah. And thank you. And I really do feel that, you know, you can go through moments where you feel really sad or you have things not happen the way you want it to. And as women, it can be a lot of things, you know, and I feel that even though you're experiencing something that could be like heartbreaking, devastating, super sad, you can choose how to channel those emotions. So like for me, I was like, you know what? I'm going to create something really beautiful for the world. And for me, it was a way of like honoring. I think I want to be this vulnerable. I didn't know how vulnerable I wanted to be, but I think I wanted
to be. Go ahead and share. Yes.
Yeah. I feel that I had an abortion. Mm. I was so depressed afterwards. And like when you want a family, but you meet the craziest person that you know.
That's real.
You don't feel safe with. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I felt like I was so depressed that I was like, I just felt empty. I felt like a lot of shame. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I felt that I really, really wanted a kid. I think as a lot of some women don't want kids. They want to be rich aunties. But no, I really wanted a kid. You know, and I feel that I was so depressed that I had to like channel that into something beautiful. And I felt like it was a way of like honoring like a little girl I wish I had. And I don't know, if it was a, you know, but I feel that through that experience, it helped me to create the Crown Workshop and create a space of healing for women and little girls like globally. And I'm grateful for that. And I didn't know that that would come out of it. But I think that when you go through difficult moments in your life, you get to choose how you want to respond to it. And I feel that that was my way of like creating something beautiful for the world and also like for God, because I just felt so sad about that. And I felt like I had disappointed him, myself. And yeah, that's what really prompted the Crown Workshop. So it was deeper than like me like wanting to help people take care of their hair. It was also me being like, okay, how am I going to handle, you know, what's been thrown at me? And I think it's a good lesson on like, you can turn a lot of, you know, unfortunate situations into blessings and like lessons. That's why like, I never said that.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that. I'm sure that just took something off your chest, you know, saying that out loud. And you have no idea how many other, you know, listeners and women who went through the same thing could stand to hear that, because I feel like it's something that's still taboo. We still don't talk about it a whole lot. Now it's become political. And in that, I feel like you took one of your trials or tragedies and turned it into a triumph. So I really appreciate you sharing that, because that just shows, you know, resilience and how you can still get something positive out of a really difficult situation. So I appreciate you sharing that. And I guess that kind of goes to one of the questions I had for you, just about, you know, as a Black woman in business, you're trying to grow a business, you know, what other unique challenges have you had to face and what strategies have you used to overcome them? Because I love what you said about you didn't sit in it. You didn't stay sad. You decided now is my time to create something beautiful for the world. So like what other strategies or like affirmations have really pulled you through?
I think that number one, I told myself, mind you, when you feel depressed, it's like a cycle, because it's like you need to do a lot to get out of it, but you don't have the energy to do it. So you're trying to like
it's one step at a time.
And what I told myself, like I remember, like I'm like, okay, I'm not gonna drink, I'm not gonna do anything, I'm not even gonna buy coffee, I'm just gonna pay for because coffee adds up.
Yes.
I buy a lot of coffee. So I was like, I'm just going to pay for hot yoga and boxing. So like hot yoga and boxing have been like very instrumental to my mental health. Think one of the biggest challenges as an entrepreneur that I face is having my entrepreneurship journey trigger everything. Mm. It triggered isolation. It triggered like financial instability. It triggered imposter syndrome, mm-hmm. not feeling good enough, not feeling like, this is quite right or quite ready for people to like pay for. I feel like you're always trying to like prove yourself and that you're worthy. And like, if you have depression on top of it, it's like so overwhelming. You feel like you're out in public drowning. you're drowning in public, right? Yeah. And people don't know that. And then you feel a lot of shame about like just expressing what you're going through. You know what I mean? Because it's like trauma, unprocessed,
right.
From childhood comes up in your adulthood, in relationships. So there's so many things that I struggled with from a mental health perspective over many, many years. And I didn't feel comfortable or safe enough or through it enough to share it. Mm-hmm. I felt like I was still processing things, you know? And what I love is like, obviously all sorts of mental health modalities, whether it's meditation, boxing, yoga, hot yoga, breath work. Now I've learned all the like
I have recently learned the power of just breathing.
Yeah, like breath work. I recently went through a retreat with an organization called the Mindful Leaders Project with an organization out here in LA called Peace mm-hmm. for Kids. And it was essentially like how to heal your nervous system, because I feel that that has been the biggest challenge for my life, because people don't know me that well. Like mm-hmm. people assume that you, you know, have it all figured out. And what I learned is that you can be dysregulated and still be calm. And yeah. people think because I'm calm that I'm okay. I'm mentally going through it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I feel that even when I relocated to South Africa, I literally like donated everything I owned in LA.
Wow.
And within 48 hours, I moved to South Africa.
During
March of 2020. But mind you, I had launched my workshops in 2019.
Mm-hmm.
So I was very clear that, okay, I'm going to go to, I'm moving to South Africa. I didn't tell people that, but I knew in my heart of hearts
yeah.
that happen.
And I am learning that as well. You don't have to announce all your moves, you know, you can just let people see you move in silence.
Yeah. And I also think that sometimes there's a lot of noise. And for me, it's already difficult enough to be like, yo, you got this, you got to give yourself that pep talk. So if I'm trying to believe in myself, I can't open myself up to other naysayers or mm-hmm. energetically, like that's going to make me feel like, oh, maybe I don't know what I'm doing, but I know in my heart is where God is telling me to go. And I feel that when you're walking by faith, it's not going to be something that's understood. So mm-hmm. when you communicate about it, they're not going to understand it because God didn't give it to them.
That's so, you know, let me give a praise break. That's so true, because some of these visions, they didn't even come from us. You didn't say like, oh, I just want to do, I want to do hair because I like to do hair. That was put in you by God. And he saw, you know, the vision for your future. And so
I've been able to sustain myself through hair since
yes.
I was 16, you know what I mean? And it's really beautiful. Like now that I feel that I get to help women do the same thing, and it hasn't happened yet, but I'm really excited to like teach the woman what I knew so they can be self-sustainable for themselves, but also like, let's make some money from it too.
Absolutely. You know? Absolutely. Why not monetize those gifts? And I have learned, like, once you just master your talent, then the money will come and we don't have to worry about those things. Cause I've had some of the same thoughts and challenges as you, you know, leaving the security of corporate to go out on your own, but you have to follow that calling or else, like you said, you're just going to have that gut feeling where you're kind of miserable if you don't do what you love. So thank you so much for sharing that. And before we close,
oh yeah. Back with regret. Like that's my biggest thing. Like when I'm trying to figure out, it's like, when you look back on your life, are you going to regret not doing this? And that's why when I, for the South Africa move, I was like, I wouldn't be able to forgive myself if I didn't take this chance. And that's what made it easy. I had to call my family in the airport.
Wow. You did not. You went to the last minute.
I called my family on the flight because I was just like, I know this is what I got to do. And also from like, I think that people get scared about letting people down, but if you knew what I was like going through from like a mental health perspective, you would have understood that this was actually me saving myself.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
I love that.
So sometimes we have to make that decision. And while it's uncomfortable and there could be like a lot of craziness that happens as a result, in hindsight, you're gonna know that's what you needed. And like when I went to South Africa, like I lived with a friend, and mind you, I was pretty healthy before then. I was like veganish. And I lived with someone that like really took like my health and mental health journey to a whole new level. So I feel that that was God being like, this is what you need to do. And all the things I've worked on during that year is what's manifesting now. So yes. It's like, it's just beautiful.
That really is great to see it all come back full circle. And like you said, I think when we look back, first, for me personally, I often don't look back. I forget how far I've come. So it is good to, you know, have those moments where you do look back and have a little bit of reflection. But also looking ahead, you know, what's next for you? I mean, it feels like you're just getting started almost. And so I feel like there's so much more in store, and especially with your social impact, you know, what do you hope to achieve as far as social impact in your community?
Well, I will say that after going to this retreat, I felt like I got a new lease on life, because I felt like I always felt that the world was my oyster, but now I know the world is my oyster because I have the tools to manage myself when I'm getting dysregulated, when my nervous system is not ready to move. So I'm really excited because I feel that I've done a lot carrying so much, and it feels beautiful to feel lighter. I'm really excited to amplify my impact in the U.S. through Crown Workshop experiences throughout schools, not just in California, but different states throughout the U.S. It's been beautiful to like connect with teachers and principals and understand what their needs are in creating experiences in schools that are based on wellness, mental health, personal grooming, and confidence. So that's number one, like definitely amplifying the impact throughout the U.S. I'm really excited to do more work in South Africa and Ghana, because both of those places were very like instrumental to my growth and healing. And I'm really excited that I'll finally be able to operate at the level that I want to, but also having the resources to do it as well. So definitely stay tuned to experiences on the continent, more workshops throughout the U.S. in middle schools and high schools, what else? I would say, you know, my biggest goal right now is literally just staying prayed up and like not doing things the way I think it should be done, but actually surrendering and really like getting as centered as possible so I can hear what's the next step. Maybe I'll go to Brazil. I don't know.
That would be dope. I really appreciate you mentioning, you know, alignment, because I think that as humans, we come up with all these ideas in our head and our timelines and everything. But I really have been leaning more on my faith this year and just remembering that it's not up to me whether I like it or not. So I definitely am trying to be in alignment and also have more discernment and just be able to quiet my thoughts and hear a little bit more clearly. So I think that I have the same goals going into 2024, you know, just making sure I want that freedom. I want that peace. I want that lightness, like you said.
That peace beyond all understanding. And I'm starting to realize, I think over the years, I've tried many different things. And I feel that I finally learned like what I need to do every day. And definitely like every week to feel like grounded, because that was never really a thing. And also to feel that like I'm really connected to God and connected to people that I love, and also like open to where God is taking me, even if it looks different than what I imagine. So yeah, I'm honestly like 2024 is going to be a very incredible year, and I hope everyone is, you know, expectant of blessings. I think we live in a world that's always like fear-mongering and telling what may go wrong. And I used to feel really paralyzed by fear. Even though I was moving forward, I would move forward and be like, you know?
Yes.
So yeah, and I will say like what I'm really excited about next year is just building community around the Crown Workshop. So If you want to pull up and
yes, YBO
wellness tips, learn to take care of your hair. There's definitely going to be a lot of virtual experiences and then in-person experiences in select cities.
Awesome. Well, I so look forward to amplifying everything that you're working on, and I will definitely pull up because I'm one of those Black girls who still does not know how to cornrow. So I need to get in on a workshop ASAP.
Yeah,
but thank you for speaking with me, Megan, and sharing your thoughts with my audience, because I really do think that this is going to resonate with folks. Like you said, you've kind of, you know, given us an example of just walking by faith and not necessarily being confident in every decision you made, but going through the pushing through the fear anyways. And I think that it's really rewarding and working out for you. So thank you so much for sharing your experience today.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me. I really do feel that I'm working on being as vulnerable as possible, because I do feel that I have a very powerful testimony. And I feel that when you can release things and be honest about like where you are and who you are and why you do the things you do, I feel that it gives you freedom to tackle other problems and solve, like, or just more importantly, like create solutions that are serving God.
Yes. You know? Thanks so much for listening to this episode. I truly hope it inspired you. I know my conversation with Megan filled my cup so much. So thank you, Megan, for coming on the show. If you love this episode, share it with a friend, family member, anyone else who could benefit from hearing this conversation. And you can follow Megan on LinkedIn. Her name on LinkedIn is Megan V. Green. And you can follow her on Instagram at Motivate Vibe Grow. You see what she did there? MVG. Motivate Vibe Grow, and also at Crown Workshop. And if you want to get in touch with me, I'm still around on Instagram, TikTok, Twitter at Miss Chris D, MissChrisDee. And send me your questions, comments, or compliments for this episode via email at helloybo@gmail.com. Peace, peace.